Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. There are few people I know who are more committed, more engaged, and more effective in one of the most important battle spaces in that war than our first guest. She is Brigitte Gabriel. She is the founder of Act for America and its leader now for quite a number of years, the author of numerous books, including They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. She is a good friend, not infrequent, but not as frequent a guest on this program as I'd like, but it's because she's so busy trying to secure our country against Sharia supremacism, as I think of it, and she's a great ally in that cause. So, Brigitte, welcome. It's so good to have you. Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Thank you, my friend. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, I wanted to start with something you've been commenting on, as have we, a very troubling development. You've touched on it in the title of the book I mentioned, Radical Islam. As you know, President Trump ran on a promise that he was going not only to name radical Islamic terrorism as the threat we face, but he was going to defeat it. We haven't heard that term from him lately, Brigitte. What do you make of it? And what are the implications of him seemingly having deviated from naming the enemy?
Well, I think the greatest disappointment so far since President Trump became president was basically this day on 9/11. For a president or candidate Trump who ran using the words radical Islamic terrorism and how we're going to fight radical Islamic terrorism and how we're going to bring them to justice, for the first day at the first September 11th memorial service where he speaks as president, the fact that he failed to mention or utter those words was just a great disappointment for the base who worked very hard to elect candidate Trump, who became president based on the fact that he was not politically correct. He was the one person who was unpredictable, was not a part of the establishment, who can speak what's on his mind and what everybody believed will stand up for the average patriotic American and finally say what needs to be said.
You've made your life's work to help the rest of us understand how important it is to recognize and call out and counter this supremacist Islamic ideology of Sharia. You come from Lebanon. You had a lot of firsthand exposure of the very hardest kind to it. So I know this is a passion of yours and I think is of the American voters who did, in fact, give Donald Trump a mandate, I think, in no small measure on this promise. So, Brigitte, what is your assessment of why he has stopped using this term?
This is so scary to even think or even utter these words that we are basically dealing with the continuation of the Obama policy under a new name.
Obama's third term.
Exactly. And it's sad because you have a lot of the Obama leftovers who are now basically advising the presidents and advising the presidents on national security. So when you look at how far the Trump presidency has changed from the beginning, where you had General Flynn, you had Steve Bannon, you had Rich Higgins, you had all these strong national security advisors and experts who actually knew what they were dealing with. Today, all these people are out. Sebastian Gorka, a lot of the colleagues, Frank, that you and I work with and admire and respect and do know that they actually have true knowledge of the enemy we are fighting. All these people are out.
And who's there instead?
Yeah, so you now have McMaster, you have Kelly, you have Mattis, you have all these people who basically come from 8 years of a politically correct education about what we call radical Islam. What they call is basically a handful of extremists who do not represent Islam, who have hijacked Islam.
Yeah, who have nothing to do with it, as a matter of fact. Yeah. You know, this is interesting, Brigitte. The only thing I would quibble about is I'm afraid that it perhaps was true of the previous 8 years pretty much as well as the Obama years. But it was certainly most of these people made their chops, made their stars, as in the case of the general officers, at least during the Obama administration, where this was indeed the mantra. But I want to switch gears. You were pulled together rallies across the United States to stand up for free speech, which is very much in the crosshairs now of not only the Sharia supremacists who don't want anything that is contrary to their Sharia blasphemy laws, including our First Amendment rights, but also their enablers on the left, and I guess in some quarters of the Republican Party as well. What happened to those rallies and why?
We had 67 rallies scheduled in 36 states across the country, basically to commemorate 9/11. They were on the weekend of 9/11. They were that Saturday before 9/11, the weekend of 9/11, to basically honor the memory of the victims who died because of terrorism, to celebrate America's exceptionalism, to express and exercise our freedom of speech. And we had to cancel that. And we wanted to express our opinion about strong national security policy, specifically when we started seeing that there are some changes taking place in the Trump administration, and we wanted to make sure our voice is heard. Unfortunately, we had to cancel these rallies, not because of threats from ISIS, but because of threats from the radical left within our country, like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who threatened to exercise the same tactics of ISIS by basically driving cars and mowing down our people, as well as bringing knives and machetes and slashing our people. And we could not take that risk to basically risk the lives of young families, mothers and fathers, showing up with their children on a Saturday afternoon waving the American flag.
Brigitte Gabriel, let me just ask you, because this is so chilling, and I'm afraid not isolated incidents, even 67 of them. This is fitting a pattern brought to us by a group, an alliance, an unholy alliance that you've studied closely, as have I, between these jihadists, the Sharia supremacists, if you will, on the one hand, and those on the hard left. And so whether it's, the Council on American Islamic Relations or, the other Muslim Brotherhood fronts in this country or, their partners, ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the rest, or whether it's Antifa, as you say, an Answer coalition and others on the radical left, it doesn't matter. They're exercising effectively a heckler's veto that really does restrict freedom of speech, our most fundamental of freedoms, it seems to me. And I wanted to ask you one other thing about this, if I could, very quickly. There's action on the Congress part as well. There was a resolution, a joint resolution adopted in both the Senate and House this week that kind of sets the stage for more of this restricting of hate speech, as they call it, and hate groups. You've been called that, as have I, by the Southern Poverty Law Center and others. Brigitte Gabriel, what are your thoughts as you're watching this kind of agenda move through the Congress of the United States, not just out in the streets of America?
This is war, and this is war declared on patriotic Americans by the leftist and the Islamic Alliance coming together to silence us, because that's the only way they can succeed. And this is something that we are organizing right now, Frank, that we are going to fight tooth and nail, because when they start naming in Congress resolutions against people like you and me, who we are called as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which basically is their opinion. And their opinion is shaped in great part by care. I mean, when I read what the Southern Poverty Law Center writes about you and me, we are literally reading the CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, press release almost verbatim.
Amen. Brigitte, this is a topic to which we will have to return soon. We are out of time, but I thank you for your leadership on this. I know your team is working with mine in Warsaw, Poland, as we speak, where the European Union and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and others are trying to move forward this agenda of silencing people here in America, as well as overseas, and in this case, in our country, despite our First Amendment freedoms. We are so proud of what you do to defend them, and we look forward to working with you in the future in that regard. Next up, we'll speak with Richard Pollack of the Daily Caller about what's happening on Capitol Hill with that scandalous IT story. Debbie Wasserman Schultz and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.